Jesus, who had a habit of just doing the right thing. And tonight we see him face the lion's den. How many Sunday school children have heard this story? Daniel in the lion's den. But before that, notice this Wednesday night, we continue our journey through Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed. Great passage to grow through. And my wife asked for the next couple of weeks if you're willing to do a dinner for Robin to let her know. She's going to put together a little bit of a clipboard. She cannot stomach Brad's cooking. So we're going to have to step in, help him out. But she's having serious morning sickness issues, can't cook without getting sick, so we're going to step in and help her out for a couple weeks. So just see Debbie if you're willing to go on that roster and take them a dinner once over the next 2 weeks. That would be very much appreciated, so please do that tonight. Those of you online, text my wife. So here in Daniel chapter 6, what a blessed time we'll see here of Daniel taking a stand and trusting God, which is kind of the main theme of Daniel, isn't it? Just trusting God. So beginning in verse 11, where we finished last week, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they've not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Because he believed. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now. Thank you for it. Thank you for these great stories that you recorded for us. May we learn from them. And may we grow through them. We give you this service in Christ's name. Amen. Because he believed. So Daniel has not been serving this king for a long time, but he's been serving him long enough that he already loves Daniel and appreciates Daniel. And did you notice there in verse 16, it was the king that said, not Daniel, but the king that said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So obviously Daniel had already been sharing with Cyrus, or is it Darius? Darius, that the God of heaven is the God that had worked all these miracles already in his life and in his friends' lives. And It's the king who said, thy God is able to deliver thee. And so the king knew some things about Daniel. First of all, he knew, notice verse 16, whom thou servest continually. The king knew that Daniel was already someone who served the God of heaven continually. That's a good word, that word continually, isn't it? That's what God wants from all of us, continually serving the Lord. And he did it in such a way that his faith could be seen. And of course, we know this is true. We talked about this Wednesday night in Romans. But we use the example of when Jesus saw the four friends bring their friend in the bed and lower him down through the roof. And the Bible says, and when Jesus saw their faith was visible because they did something with their faith. Just like the Romans. And Daniel did something with his faith. He faithfully served the God of heaven despite still being a captive, despite still having to serve a Gentile king. His faith could be seen to the point that here we have this Gentile king saying to this Jew, thy God, not my God, but thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You know, this is what Jesus wants from all of us. Is that our testimony before our neighbors and before our family and before our workmates is such that they know that we are Christians whom God watches over. We are Christians whom God answers our prayers. They should just know this. They may not believe in God. They may not agree with what we believe or where we stand, but they know that we see answers to prayer. They know that God watches over us. This is what Jesus wants from all of us. If you go to Psalm 119:46, David, before he became king himself, I want you to notice what he said. David also had this sort of a testimony. Psalm 119, verse 46. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Even before David was a king, he said, I will testify of the greatness of God before kings. It doesn't matter. I am not going to be ashamed of my God. And of course, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to what? Of every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Why would someone ask us about the hope that is in us? Well, because they've been watching us and they see that we testify, that we love God, that we trust God, and that God answers our prayers and God watches over us, just like Daniel. This is what God wants from all of us, is for others to know who we serve and that he blesses us and watches over us and is good to us and answers our prayers. So back to our passage, Daniel 6, verse 20, it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. So this is the king. Unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I believe the world asks this of Christians all the time. Maybe not audibly, but they watch us. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. They watch us to see, does God answer their prayers? Does God watch over his children? Or is it just talk? It wasn't just talk for Daniel, was it? Here we have a king, one of the greatest kingdoms in the world, saying, Daniel, you serve your God continually. I already expressed that I believed he was able, but was he able? Is Daniel still alive? This is the next day. Was God able to deliver you? And I believe that the world is asking this. Go to Ephesians 2:12 if you would. The world is always looking for hope. And they're not finding it in the pursuit of money, the pursuit of pleasure, because there is no hope in those things. There's only hope in the Lord. And notice Ephesians 2:12. That at the time you were without Christ, talking about us and our past, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. That was us before we were saved, having no hope. When Paul was reminding the Thessalonians about the rapture, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which, those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The world has no hope because they don't have God. They don't know what's coming. They don't know, first of all, that they don't necessarily believe they're going to live forever. And if they do, they don't know for sure they're going to go to heaven. But the Bible says you can know. Amen. 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I believe that God wants others to see in our lives, yes, our God watches over us. Yes, our God answers prayer. And yes, we have hope. We have the hope of the return of Jesus Christ. We have the hope of eternal life and spending eternity with our Creator. What a great example Daniel was. Moving on, verse 21, then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel. God took care of his faithful servant. Isn't that beautiful? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, and they've not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. God delivered me. I didn't break any laws. I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was pray. And God protected me from the lions. But why did God protect him? Verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Here's why. Because he believed in his God. I believe God wants the world to see faith in us, faith that's answered. We believe in God. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing for the world to be able to see it, because he watches over us, because he answers our prayers. And David had an impact yet on another king through this miracle. But what can we do? What can we see happen in our lives? Because we believe, let's look and see what Jesus said. Look at Matthew 17. And this is really what it comes, it's not complicated. And it's not the measure of our faith. It's the measure of how great God is. Notice Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So why did he use the mustard seed? Because it's not the quantity of our faith. It's not how much faith we have. It's, is our faith in the right direction? That is, toward an almighty God that can do anything. And then go to Matthew 21, 22. We'll see it again. Because he believed. Matthew 21:22. In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You know the key word in that verse? Believing. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believing. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Which means the way to please him is faith. Go to James 1. We'll see it again. Verse 5. This is a theme all through Scripture. God wants his children to believe in him. Not necessarily for salvation, although that's what he wants. But after we're saved, he wants us to believe that he can do anything. Daniel just trusted God. Daniel's three friends, when they thrown in the fire furnace, they just trusted God. They believed God was able. They weren't sure God would do it, but they believed in his almighty power. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look at the next verse. But let him ask, what? In faith. In faith. Nothing wavering. This is one of the keys to answer prayer. In faith. And Daniel is our example. He just trusted God. And he lived such a life that here this Gentile king, who, as you can see in the Medes and Persians, had absolute authority. When he made, when he decreed something, it became unchangeable law. And he could just speak a word and someone was executed. That's just the way it worked back then. Absolute authority. And here he is coming to Daniel and saying, Daniel, I believe your God's able to deliver you because I really have no choice. These guys tricked me into this law and I have to throw you in the lion's den, but I believe God's going to protect you. And then he comes the next morning after not sleeping all night and said, are you there? Are you alive? And Daniel's able to say, I'm here. I'm alive. Down to verse 26. We'll see what happened to the men that were jealous of Daniel. We don't want to miss that, do we? Verse 24, the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came in the bottom of the den. We win in the end, amen? Don't forget that. The world may hate Christians. The God of this world hates Christians. The world hates churches. The God of this world hates churches. But we are serving Almighty God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Daniel didn't throw these guys in the lion den. The Gentile king did. Daniel's testimony had this huge impact on Darius. And so Darius, remember Nebuchadnezzar's decree after his time of eating grass, running around on all fours, about the greatness of Daniel's God? Look what happened to Darius, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, I make a decree, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Isn't that good? For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Wow, preach it, Darius. A Gentile king? That's two Gentile kings now, making kingdom-wide, which for them was basically worldwide decrees, that the God of Daniel and Daniel's friends is the God that everyone should worship. Fascinating. Talk about having an impact. Daniel had an impact. So verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now you see why it was called the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Remember we saw in chapter 5, verse 31, that Darius was called the Median and Cyrus was called the Persian. So that, hence the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, which remember was the second part of the image of chapter 2. The first part was the Babylonian Empire, the head. And then this part of the image was the next empire, which is the Medes and the Persians, to be followed by Alexander the Great, of course. So why did God deliver Daniel from the den of lions? Three simple words. Because he believed. Those are three very important words for us as God's children. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. And God will not only bless our faith, but as we see, others will be blessed too. People are watching us. And if we get answers to prayer through faith, they see that. If God protects us because of our faith, they see that. And respect the fact that we worship an all-powerful God. That doesn't mean they'll necessarily get saved, although they hopefully will. But they, like this king, said, the God of Daniel, he is the true God. I know because I've seen it. And that's what God wants from all of us. because he believed. Thank you, Lord.